Now, of course, for Marxist historians, this has meant that the archaic period can be viewed as a period of class struggle. Now, I'm not going to be pushing a Marxist line in these lectures, and I certainly don't want to try to defend Marxism as a current political belief, which has been proved to be quite bankrupt, but I do want to draw to your attention that as a line of interpretation of understanding ancient societies, it cannot be ignored. That is to say, we have to address the fundamental question: what impact do the basic economic relations of society have on the history of that society? Marx would say where a man or a woman stands economically is really the prime relationship that that person will have with the rest of his community. And so for many Marxist historians, the archaic period is a period in which wealthy Athenians, wealthy Greeks, are virtually at war with the poor, with the demos, with the people. Well, it's an attractive approach in some respects, and yet, the more historians have looked at specific instances recorded either in poetry or, better still, in the work of the ancient historians, like Herodotus and Thucydides, the more that it appears that the real conflict was not between rich and poor, but rather between various competing aristocratic groups. One faction led by this clan leader and his supporters, opposing and opposed by another faction led by another clan leader and his supporters. The archaic period, in my opinion, was not a time of class warfare, although it was a period in which the wealth of a few was growing and the impoverishment of the poor was increasing as well. So there are, if you like, class tensions in the archaic period, which will fuel agitation for political and economic change. This will result in stasis or reform or tyranny, whichever option the Greeks take. I think that we can best say of the archaic period that there are different sorts of tensions operating at the same time, and I would express them this way: that there are both horizontal tensions between competing aristocratic groups, factions if you will, and there are also underlying tensions that are vertical between the wealthy and the poor. It's in the context of exactly this kind of situation of multiple tensions between different groups and between different classes that Athenian society finds itself caught in the early 6th century. And in 594, in response to this, the people elect as archon Solon. In his poems, he immediately talks about protecting both the powerful and the poor, or the people. He talks about himself as a kind of shield between different packs of wolves, helping the ship of state to take a steady course. And yes, he does mix metaphors, just as I've done in that comment. So he clearly sees himself as some kind of moderate, trying to navigate a successful path of reform between the wealthy and between the poor. What does that mean in concrete terms? What did he actually do apart from write poems? Well, we know that Solon says in his poetry that he removed the marker stones which enslaved the land. What does this mean? Well, it seems to be Greek practice that when land was mortgaged, in other words, when the farmer who owned the land had fallen into debt, that this mortgage was expressed by putting a marker stone on the land somewhere which would show this, a horos inscription as it's called in Greek, a boundary inscription. When Solon says that he removes these, he's not referring specifically to the act of lifting these stones up and carting them away, but somehow ending a system of mortgage whereby farmers were trapped in a cycle of debt. And he also says in his poems then that he had freed the poor who had been enslaved to the rich. And he says further that he brought back to Athens Athenians who had been enslaved and been sent out of the land. Now, when he talks here about slavery, about the slavery of the poor to the rich and people being sent from Athens, sold into slavery, I don't think he's speaking figuratively at all. I think he's speaking quite literally.